What we're going to do is we're going to read God's word now. Psalm 96 is a great psalm of praise to the Lord for his concern for the nations. And we've asked Hannah to read out the passage in Italian.
Salmo 96. Cantate al Signore un cantico nuovo. Cantate al Signore, abitanti di tutta la terra. Cantate al Signore, benedite il suo nome. Annunciate di giorno in giorno la sua salvezza. Proclamate la sua gloria fra le nazioni e i suoi prodigi fra tutti i popoli. Perché il Signore è grande e degno di sovrana lode. Egli è tremendo sopra tutti gli dèi. Poiché tutti gli dèi delle nazioni sono idoli vani, il Signore invece ha fatto i cieli. Splendore e maestà sono davanti a Lui, forza e bellezza stanno nel suo santuario. Date al Signore, o famiglie dei popoli, date al Signore gloria e forza. Date al Signore la gloria dovuta al suo nome. Portate le offerte e venite nei suoi cortili. Prostratevi davanti al Signore, vestiti di sacri ornamenti. Tremate davanti a Lui, abitanti di tutta la terra. Dite fra i popoli, il Signore regna. Il mondo quindi è saldo e non potrà vacillare. Il Signore giudicherà le nazioni con rettitudine. Gioiscono i cieli ed esulti la terra. Risuoni il mare e quanto contiene. Esultino i campi e quanto in essi. Tutti gli alberi delle foreste emettono gridi di gioia in presenza del Signore, perché Egli viene. Viene a giudicare la terra. Egli giudicherà il mondo con giustizia e i popoli con verità. Amen.
I would like to read a verse from the Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Just a short phrase, and I would like to think through that with you tonight. English is not my language, so please bear with my accent. Forgive my mistakes. Ephesians 5:17 says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I presume you all know the story of Aladdin. Probably you saw that, you watched the film, or you know the story. This guy, Aladdin, finds a lamp, he rubs the lamp, and a genie comes out. And this genie is great, he's powerful, he's mighty, but he's a servant. Aladdin is the master, and the genie does whatever Aladdin wishes. In fact, the genie doesn't have a will, it does Aladdin's will. Our God has a will. We shouldn't make the deadly mistake of treating God, the Creator, the mighty Creator, like Aladdin's genie, where we go to him and say, "I would love a nice family, a comfortable house, a nice car, a good church to attend. Can you do that?" Approaching God in this way is actually blasphemous, because it puts us, like Aladdin, in the master's position, and God becomes our humble and powerful servant. So God has a will. And Paul says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Why do we want to understand what the Lord's will is? Why? Because we want to do it. We want to do the Lord's will because we are His children and we want to do the Lord's will. We are the servants. He is the master. He has a will. We do His will. And because He is the God who created us and loves us, we won't do His will reluctantly, but will do His will joyfully. He wants the best for us. So do not be foolish, Paul says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but understand what the Lord's will is. So according to this verse, living without knowing what the Lord's will is foolish. It's silly. It's a waste of time. It's a nonsense. Day after day after day, living our lives, trying to please us, trying to do what we think is best, ignoring that our God, our Creator, actually has a will. Living without acknowledging God's will is foolish. What is your idea of the will of God, the Lord's will? I believe there are two ways of seeing the will of God. One is, we think that the will of God is something hidden that we need to discover and then do. So the more we pray, the more we get closer to God, maybe will reveal to us some of His will. Who shall I marry? I need to pray because the Lord needs to reveal that to me. And the more we're closer to God, the more probable it gets to discover His will. And I believe many Christians see the Lord's will in this way. What's the Lord's will for my life? We pray. Fair enough. Who shall I marry? What work shall I do? This job or that job? Shall I live in this country or in that country? What does God actually want for me? And we think, I need to pray more so that God will reveal His will to me. So the will of God is something hidden that we need to discover and do. Or the will of God is something clearly revealed, so it's not hidden, something clearly revealed in the Bible that we need to not discover but understand and do. So the will of God is something clearly revealed in the Bible that we need to understand and do. And I feel more comfortable with this definition, actually. Because the Bible is full of references to the Lord's will. Every time we read God wants, or God giving orders to us, it's actually what the Lord wants. That's His will, what the Lord wants. So it's not something hidden. It's something clearly revealed in the Bible. And we need to understand the Lord's will and do it. I believe there are times in our life when we need to seek God's face for direction. So we need to ask Him what direction He wants us to go. But I believe too that in the Bible we read about the Lord's will for us. It's clearly revealed. So when we want to understand what the Lord's will is, we go to His Word. We go to the Bible. We believe the Lord's will is revealed in the Bible. And let me give you one example, practical, very practical example. If you pray, what is the Lord's will for my work life? Well, we know from the Bible that the Lord wants you to be honest, not to rob or cheat. He wants you to be generous with the money you earn through your job. He wants you to rest regularly and give time to your family and to your church family and to worship God. It wants you to pay rightly those who work for you. He wants you to submit to the government and pay taxes. These are things that the Lord wants. Why do we know it? How do we know it? Well, the Bible speaks about these practical things as well. That is the Lord's will. So there are things that we know God wants, His will, because we find them in the Bible. We don't need to spend hours or days or weeks and pray to ask God, shall I rest when I work? No, He wants us to rest. Shall I pay taxes? No. We know we need to pay taxes. Nothing to discover about that, because it's clearly revealed in the Bible. But today we're talking about mission. And we've read the missionary psalm. Declare His glory among the nations, Psalm 96. So when it comes to world mission, in the Bible we see clearly that it is the will of God to bless and save and be worshipped by the nations. The Lord's will is to bless the nations, to save the nations, and to be worshipped by the nations, all people of the earth. Psalm 96 is full of references to all people, all nations, all languages. And I want to show you with some Bible passages, how clearly it is revealed in the Bible that God's will is to bless and save and be worshipped by the nations. Abraham. So we're talking about the beginning of the Bible. Abraham, Genesis 12. When God calls Abraham to leave his country, his family, what does God say to him? Genesis 12, verse 2. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Listen. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The nations were already in God's mind. It doesn't come with Jesus. The nations were already in God's mind. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Psalm 96, we just read it before. Verse 3, declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. It is God's desire to be worshipped by the nations. The prophet Daniel sees the future glory of the Messiah. And he writes, Daniel 7, verse 14, He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped Him. That was Daniel, centuries before Jesus. Or think about the Great Commission in the New Testament. So at the end of Matthew 28, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Or as we read in Luke 24, verse 47. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. All nations. We ascend to all nations. Not just people around us, but to all nations. The book of Acts ends in Italy. Paul is under arrest in Rome. And we read in Acts 28, verse 28, that Paul was meeting people in his house and telling them about Christ. And he says this, Therefore I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, the nations, the other people. He was speaking to Jews here. And they will listen. God's salvation is for the nations. A last passage in Revelation 7, verse 9. As John, the apostle, sees some of the glory, future glory, of God's kingdom, he says, After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. You see, when it comes to world mission, it is difficult to miss what the Lord's will is. He wants to bless and save and be worshipped by the nations, by all nations, all tribes, every single one. This is His desire. Therefore, this is His will. Jesus came on the earth, taught, died on a cross, rose again because of God's desire to bless and save the nations. That was the way God Himself came on the earth to win the nations back to Him. He paid for our sins so that the nations could rejoice in Him forever. So the church, maybe this is the most important phrase I will try and pass to you today. The church has a mission because God has a will. We have a mission because God has a will. And His will is to bless and save and be worshipped by the nations. Therefore, go into all nations and preach the gospel, God says, so that people can be blessed eternally and be saved forever. Therefore, Paul says, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is, and do it. It's pointless to understand the Lord's will and not doing it. We want to understand what the Lord's will is, and do it. So when we talk about mission, we see that the evangelization of the whole world, it is the Lord's will. It is what He wants. It is what He desires. Therefore, we engage in world mission. Not because we like to, only. Because we enjoy traveling. I'm not traveling much, I'm in Italy. But normally, mission is to other countries. The reason why the main reason why we engage in mission, world mission, the evangelization of the world, is because God has a will to bless the nations. The most glorious cause we can spend our lives for, it's God's mission. We can waste our lives running, chasing after our own passions and dreams. But the only real reason to live for is God's will, is God's mission, God's glory, God's blessing, God's salvation among the nations. We can try and ignore all this and live our lives as if we don't have a God who has a will, and maybe treat God like the genie of the lamp. But Paul says that is foolish. That is very foolish. Because God has a will. So we are wrong when we ask the question, should I get involved in mission? That is the wrong question. The question is actually, how should I get involved in mission? How can I be involved in God's great rescue mission? It's not about should I or should I not. Should I be a normal Christian or a missionary? As I said before, we're not special. We're missionaries, so-called missionaries. But all of us are called to engage in world's mission. So the question is, how should I get involved in mission? Because we understand from God's word that it is the Lord's will to bless and save and be worshipped by all peoples of the earth. And therefore we, His church, will engage in world evangelization. Because it's through the gospel of Jesus Christ that the nations will be blessed and saved. And people who are enemies of God will become forgiven sinners like we are by God's grace. Become worshippers of God. Forgiven worshippers. So mission is not just a doctrine of the Christian faith. It is the very reason why God is still keeping us on earth. In heaven, we could have fellowship. In heaven, we will get to know God better. We don't need to preach 40-minute messages on the Bible because we will meet God. But what we can't do in heaven is reaching the lost. If we're still here, it's because we have a mission. Actually, God has a mission, and we are called to engage in God's mission. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is, and do it. I close by reading again Revelation 7, verse 9. After this, John is seeing the future here. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. That is the Lord's will. Every nation come to Him to worship. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let's get involved wholeheartedly, not randomly, but wholeheartedly in the mighty and glorious work of world evangelization. Whether God calls you here, or calls you in Italy, or calls you in Zimbabwe, or calls you in Brazil, or calls you anywhere, make sure you're doing the will of God, trying to please Him, reaching others with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that You may reveal clearly Your will to us. Help us to be Christians who do Your will, not our will. Help us to have a serious and passionate burden for the nations, because it is your will to bless and save and be worshipped by all nations, all people, all tribes, all language. Thank you for this church. Give them a real passion. Keep on giving them a real passion for world evangelization. In Christ's precious name, amen.